Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello and welcome to VSiN's Long Shots. It is Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds. We're going to come to you each and every week breaking down outrights, head-to-head matchups, placement markets, and any other fun bets we find in the vast rest of country betting markets that you guys get to bet in out there. And Kelly, we'll start things off here by saying, hey, look, it's we're the new voices here on this podcast. Looking forward to a really good golf betting season. I don't know if we can replicate the results we've had over the last 2 years, but I sure as hell hope we can.
I'm just going to hope I don't have as many second place finishes as I did last year. That was nearly impossible to repeat. So I'm excited to get this going and get this new season going. And Wes Reynolds, thank you for having us on Long Shots.
Thank you for being here, guys. I already got one of my second places this year, Morikawa, to kick it off. So,
me too.
So, with the runners up, and obviously we'll be talking more as we go on in the weeks on Long Shots here in terms of not only outrights, but potential top 10s, top 20s. And that's the way that you can still make some money, since we don't have each way betting here in the United States, to be able to do that. That if you don't hit your outright, at least you're making some kind of money.
Absolutely. And guys, this will be a little bit shorter episode than we will typically give you on a weekly basis. We are a little bit of a wonky deal here with this thing starting on Wednesday. They're trying to avoid the NFL conference championship games. I think it's a right decision, but for us, a little bit less time for us to handicap this tournament along with all of the other sports that we're doing over at VSiN. So bear with us. We will certainly be with you in a much more detailed capacity as we move forward here on Long Shot. So guys, let's kick things off. It is the Farmers Insurance Open over at Torrey Pines. It's going to be a two-course rotation, North Course, South Course on Wednesday and Thursday. Then Friday and Saturday, they play exclusively on the South Course. South Course, the only one with shot link, 156 golfers, top 65 in ties. We got a lot of the big names, but no Rory, no Scheffler, no Cantlay in this one. Wes, you do a great breakdown of the courses over at VSiN.com. So if everybody wants the real nitty gritty, they can head over there. But just give us a quick look at the North Course and the South Course. We know if you're going to do the damage in this tournament, you're going to need to do it on the North Course.
Yeah, you're right, man. Two different courses here. The North Course only going to be played either on Wednesday or Thursday. And basically, it's one of the easier courses on tour based on how it played last year. I think it was seventh easiest, average of about 1.85 under par per round. It is about 500 yards less, 7258, I believe, from the tips. So Tom Weisskopf designed this course. Same ryegrass overseed in the fairways, only the greens are going to be different. You're going to get a little bit more of like your bent greens over here, where it's more pure poa on the South Course. So North Course greens are a little bit slower, about 10.5 on the stimp, a little bit larger, 6,000 square feet. As you mentioned, with the South Course being played in three of the four rounds, little bit less than 7,800 yards. This is the longest course on the PGA Tour, and it may play even a little bit longer this week simply because, you know, it's in January, so, it's a lot different than playing in the summer here. So it's colder, so it's a little bit tougher, possibility of some more wind. And also the fact that this got a little less than 5 inches of rain here for the first 3 months of January. So you're going to get 3.5 inch rough is what it's listed at. But this is going to be thicker and wetter, so, you know, you're going to need to get it out there, especially on the South course off the tee.
On that North course, if you're not in the mid-60s, you're probably not going to be in this tournament. This is typically where people have scored. 10 of those holes have a scoring average under par. 2 of the par 5s have a birdie or better rate of about 60%, if that tells you anything. And as Wes mentioned, just a super, super long, tough course there on the South End. 2021 U.S. Open, if you remember, John Rahm coming back and stealing that tournament. And 7 of those par 4s over 450 yards, 3 of them over the par 3s are over 200 yards, and then 2 of the par 5s over 600 yards. So just over a third of the approach shots are all going to come from further than 200 yards. Kelly, people will learn as we are doing further episodes here of long shots, all 3 of us model results, all 3 of us put in statistics and categories and things like that and weight them differently that we feel is important. So while we all go about it kind of the same way, we're going to come out with different results every week because you might see an importance in something that I don't see. Wes might see an importance in something that you don't see. You might weight something more heavily than I do and all of that. So as we kind of look at this week, what were the stats that stood out to you and what were the things that you weighted heavily?
Yeah, the other thing I find interesting is as we're doing this year after year, is always going back and looking what you did the year before, and kind of, I think it's always updating and tweaking your modeling if there's anything you feel like you need to focus on more this year as opposed to a year before. And, you know, I think what your results did, how your results panned out also play into that as well. But, as far as what I looked at this for this tournament, it was really, look, off the tee is important, right? There really hasn't been a ton so far this season where we're really looking at driving distance. We're looking at, a mixture of driving distance and accuracy. So you don't want to end up in the rough off the tee here. Driving distance gained, strokes gained off the tee, I plugged in pretty heavily this week. We're always going to look at stroke gained approach. That plugged in at about 27%. In my model as I'm looking at it right now, for those proximity, as you guys mentioned, 175 to 200 and the 200 plus proximity ranges is what I'm looking at this week. The par fours, 450 to 500 yards, strokes gained around the green, I think is going to become important this week. And then the one I really went to on the putting side of things, it's kind of going to go with no putt, no putt in general as far as the model goes. But 3-putt avoidance, I think, is going to be important this week. So that was one that I ended up plugging in. And that's really all I looked at this week, guys, really heavily off the tee stuff. And then approach is going to be important every week as listeners will come to hear from us very often that statistic is in there in the modeling. But more focus off the tee, I think, is important in this tournament.
Yeah, Wes, approach is going to be in our model pretty much every single week. It's just going to be basically how much we weight it each and every week. Is it going to be one of the most important stats? Is it going to be kind of middle of the pack with something else? Or if I can't imagine a scenario where it would be very lowly rated, but there might be that time every now and then throughout the course of the year. As you were putting together the stats that matter to you, what did you land on?
Approach was certainly included, and it's pretty much going to be there every week, as you said, Matt. But I did a little bit of a combination like Kelly did in terms of driving distance gained, also a little bit of strokes gained off the tee. The accuracy rate is pretty low here, but usually you don't have to hit fairways necessarily to succeed here. Now, it might be a little bit different this week with the wetter, thick or rough because of the rain that they've had the first 3 weeks. So I felt you had to use a little bit of OTT. I went a little bit more proximity heavy in terms of the 200 plus yards. If you look at last year, all top 10 finishers in this event at the Farmers Insurance Open gained in proximity of 200 or more. Justin Rose won in 2019. He was second best in the field for 200 or more. 2021, 7 of the top 9, 200 or more. So I weighted that a little bit more heavily. In terms of green, I think you could go strokes gained around the green. I went a little bit more scrambling gained because I think that ever since Reese Jones did the redesign of this course, which he did for the U.S. Open a couple years ago and made it longer, you've really had to scramble here. The last three Farmers winners, all six are better in the field in their respective winning weeks. The scrambling percentage is actually almost 30% less than it is the tour average when you look at just Torrey Pines. So scrambling game, stroke gating, putting on POA, which is going to be three of the four rounds on the South course. Bogey avoidance, I thought, was important this week. And then I went a little bit strokes gained par four, 450 to 500, simply because six of the 10 par fours on that South course design measure 450 to 500. And then one that was kind of like really small that I used, I just wanted to look at context. Strokes gained long and difficult courses, which I think Torrey Pines South very much is, at a little bit under 7,800 yards.
Yeah, guys, if you're wondering about these stats that we continue to mention here on the pod, and listen, this is going to be a very big emphasis for us as we move forward throughout the course of the golf season. Look, there are a lot of these statistics that are available for free over on PGAtour.com. Wes, I know you've pointed this out before. It's actually a fairly robust site that you're at least able to go in and find a bunch of this material. Now, you're not going to be able to run an aggregate model and different things like we're talking about. There are plenty of sites out there in which you can pay if you decide that your golf betting gets to a level where you really want to take it to the next level. You can pay to get access to these algorithms out there that will help you put together models. I'm actually doing something different this year than I've done in years past. I'm running models on three different sites, actually. So I'm trying to run models on three different sites and then use the results of all three of those sites. And if I feel like it's kind of pointing me towards a single guy with three different algorithms that are running, then it's probably a good play for what I feel that that's important that week. And Wes, I landed on a lot of the same things that you did, and Kelly, kind of you as well. I'm pretty heavy on approach this week. It was actually the top rated thing for me. Around the green was actually next. I think that there are a lot of guys here around the green, and scrambling, as Wes mentioned, is going to be kind of the difference on that South course. So I did that. Proximity 200 plus, proximity 175 to 200, driving distance, because listen, while driving distance has not proven to be that it's a must here, I think with the conditions, and certainly as we know, it's always a bonus, right? And so I do have driving distance in there. Scoring on par fives, because look, a lot of these par fours are just not birdie, they're just not going to be birdie holes at all, right? I mean, they're just going to be, you're scrambling for par, you move on, and then you try to score on some of these par fives. So I did have that in there as well. Good drives, because as Wes mentioned, you know, listen, these are hard to hit fairways as it is, right? So I'm not going to look for like fairways gained as much as I am just good drives where you're not really missing the fairway. It trickles off, it rolls off, but you're still able to get a clean shot second into the green there. Bogey avoidance for me, and then par four, 450 to 500 was another that was pretty big for me. In one of the other models that I run, I am able to use the weighted stuff. So I do have weighted, like off the tee, weighted approach, weighted around the greens and things like that. But it's basically all the same stats, just a little bit differently for the course and the field with all that. So Kelly, now that we've spit this out, and we'll talk our bets a little bit later, but what did your model spit out from a top 10 perspective? Let's just call it 36 and 24 or something like that, whatever it was.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's a lot of the same names we've been seeing at the top, I guess, if, you know, for people that have been out there betting golf, you know, the past couple months. Like, I don't want to speak for you two, and I'm sure Wes has. Matt, I don't know about you, might have been focused a little bit more on NFL, but, you know, been attacking these tournaments. And look, it's Zalatoris, it's Finau, it's Xander Schauffele, right? It's those three names kind of constantly at the top in all the models that I've run. 24, 36, all three of those names in one order or the other are the three names at the top. Did find it interesting. I did run a last 12 round model, and this is what, there is one guy here that I want to talk about because I ended up making a small bet on him. Jason Day finding form here recently, and a guy who has played well at this track before. We look here, you know, last year he finished T3. There's a cut there in 2021, but then it's a T16, a T5, one in 2018. He's an interesting guy to be this week. I ended up playing a small top 20 bet on him. I don't know what you got. If he came across in your models at all, Matt, I can't remember betting a. I don't know. I don't even know the last time I put a Jason Day bet in. I don't know if I did once last season. So I'm going in. I'm going in lightly. I'm dipping my toe in the water. Sure. But Jason Day with the top 20 for me this week.
I did kind of what Wes did as well. So I ran a regular version of the model, and then also ran a version of the model on long courses and then also difficult scoring condition courses. A lot of the names that you just mentioned, Kelly, if I do like 50 and 36, I want a kind of long-term success on long and difficult courses to see how these guys are playing. It's Zalatoris, it's Justin Thomas, it's Finau, it is Rahm, it's, you know, all those guys pop up. I think one of the, if you go a little bit shorter, like the 36, it's Xander, it's those type names. A couple of names, though, I will say that did pop up multiple times. And again, we'll get to our bets here in just a little bit. But Keegan Bradley, a guy that you and I have bet a ton, did continue to pop up in multiple versions of things. And I do think it's fairly interesting from that aspect whenever we start to look at just the odds that are attached to his name as well. And then one of the other names is Kurt Kitayama, which I thought was pretty interesting that he continued to pop up in multiple versions of the model for the things that I found attractive this week. Wes, whenever we look at names that were popping up in pretty much any version that you put out there, what was popping up and what was surprising to you?
Same names, at least at the top, that you would figure. Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, Will Zalatoris, John Rahm, those guys. But a couple that really surprised me with how many categories, at least for me, that if they weren't right at the top, they might have been like 6 to 10 or 10 to 15, because I usually go top 15 in the category, sometimes top 20. Wyndham Clark actually popped up a lot for me. Driving distance gained, I believe, was third. 12 for strokes gained off the tee. And then you kind of commingle that with even some of the stats around the green. I think he was like 14th scrambling gain. This is last 24 rounds, by the way, and was fourth in strokes gained putting on Poa'anua. So, all over the place. Bogey avoidance was seven. So Wyndham Clark. Now certain guys were just certain limited category guys, like Maverick McNealy popped more on the short game stats, the putting, the scrambling, the par four, 450 to 500. And then you had, your bombers that are usually at the top for like the driving distance, the Trey Mullinaxes and the Taylor Pendrifts, Dean Burmester, Matty Schmid, those guys more like off the tee, not necessarily around the green.
Coming up, we're going to run through our bets that are in our accounts this week and maybe even a couple that we are maybe eyeing between now and when this thing actually tees off.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Welcome back to Long Shots. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin. Guys, this is what everyone is tuning in for. They want to know what picks we have in our accounts. And let's kick things off here with just the outrights, Kelly. I mean, listen, we know, and we will harp on this time and time and time again. You keep your bankroll healthy with these other bets that we're going to talk about a little bit later. When we talk about the head-to-heads, when we talk about the placement market, stuff like that, that's how you keep a constant bankroll. But we know what's sexy, and what's sexy is hitting these outrights. And so let's run down your outright card.
Yeah, it's going to be real quick because it's not very sexy for me. I've got one pre-tournament outright, guys. Woo! One pre-tournament outright. That's it. And I think it starts with a topic I think we do need to discuss this week, the John Rahm factor and what it's doing to these odds. I mean, this guy has won four of the last six times he's played at this point. I don't know about you guys, but I think, look, I mean, I'm not betting John Rahm at plus 450 is what we're looking at DraftKings right now. I'm going to assume you guys aren't as well. I think I'm going to go out on the limb here and assume you're not. But as I was sorting through the other names of guys that I was looking to possibly want outrights on, I just thought the odds were too short for what they really should be with how dominant he's been playing this week. Guys like Finau, like Zalatoris, like Homa. Homa, I know, opened up in some shops at 28-30-ish to 1 and got bet down kind of immediately. I missed out on that. Otherwise, that's probably what I would have bet. So Cam Davis, 50-1 is my only outright bet this week. Do have some others in some other markets. We'll get to that. But for outrights, that's how I'm starting the tournament. As we go in tournament, probably add some more then. I think the other thing that we need to talk about a little bit is weather on Thursday, right? Looks like it's going to be windy on Thursday and how that might affect things. I don't know if that factored into you guys of what players you looked at on certain courses. We know that North Course going to play a little easier. I've heard a couple people talk about trying to target guys who are playing that North Course on their second day. Just because at least it should be a little bit easier if you have to navigate 25-plus-mile-an-hour winds. Could be a little nuts out there, but only one outright for me this week, Matt. Cam Davis, who I just can't quit right now.
Wes, as we look at your outright card here, I'll admit, Kelly, to answer your question, I think that was a leak in my game last year. And so the leak in my game was taking the weather too much into account. Like I was overanalyzing and I was skipping out on guys that I wanted to bet because of weather and because of things like that. And so I'm making a conscious decision here at the beginning of the season anyway to not look at that as much, because I feel like that was a pretty big leak in my betting last year where I'm like, oh, this start time and this day, and I can't bet him because of this and whatever. And I'm trying to piece this all out. And like, frankly, man, weather's weather. It's going to come. It's going to go. It's going to blow sometimes. It's not going to blow sometimes. This isn't like a coastal course anyway. It's like, you know, so it's just, it's one of those things where I try not to. Wes, I don't know if you did or not, but that's just kind of how I am.
And I'm glad you guys pointed that out, actually, because even though this is considered a coastal course, there's not a lot of water on either of these two courses, especially on that north course, which is really on the inland. But with weather, I was kind of looking at that, Kelly, too, and there used to be a draw bias here, and it used to be you started on the difficult course, the south course, on Thursday, and then you gained on Friday at the north course. This was like, I think, 2011 to 2018. And then that got switched when Justin Rose shot 9-under on the north course on Thursday when he won in 2019 and ran away with it. Leishman began on the north course in 2020. Reed also did the same in 2021. So the draw bias may be eliminated at this point.
Wes, if we look at your outrights, what are you sitting on?
Yeah, a little bit chalky at the top, a little bit more chalky than I usually play it. Not quite John Rahm chalk, but I did just because he popped in so many stats. And I hate to do this because it's, you know, you're kind of setting yourself up for disappointment if you bet this guy over the years. And it's the hometown guy, Xander Schauffele, at 12-1. Very mixed record when it comes to finishing here, although he was second and seventh, I believe, in 2021 at the U.S. Open. But he's missed a couple cuts here. But I think he might have some momentum. He shot 63 on Sunday at the Amex, a 62 to finish T3. And I think that alleviates concerns. I think people were worried about his back because he did withdraw from the Sentry at Kapalua in the opener. But he's really good on like classical course designs like Torrey Pines, and he knows these tricky Poa greens better than anyone, being a Southern California guy. So Xander Schauffele at 12, Tony Finau at 14. Last nine starts, three victories, three top tens. He's only failed to reach the top 25 once here at Torrey Pines. Top six on four occasions, second in 2021. Number one in strokes gained tee to green and strokes gained ball striking over the last 36 rounds. Also gained with the putter in each of his last nine starts. And then Will Zalatoris, 18-1. Kind of maybe is a narrative play. Remember John Rahm shot 33 under at Kapalua and ended up losing by one to Cameron Smith. You know, Will Zalatoris should have won this event, basically couldn't make a putt on the back nine. And then he's against Luke List in the playoff, who can't make a putt ever. But what do you do when you can't make putts? You hit it to 2 feet on the playoff hole. And that's what Luke List did to kind of rip the heart out of Will Zalatoris backers. But I'm going to be back on him 18-1, was second here last year, seventh in 2021. Maverick McNealy, 40-1. I considered Taylor Montgomery. That might be the fear of missing out play if I don't bet him, because I said I was basically going to bet him every week this time of year on the West Coast Swing. But I went with McNealy, two-time runner-up on the tour, both seconds coming in the state of California, three top tens already this season, was seventh last time at the Sony. Best scrambler in the field in terms of my model, and then one of the best POA putters on tour. So Matt McNealy, 40-1. One former champion here in 2019, and that's Justin Rose, who I got at 66-1. Big season for Justin Rose because he's on the other side of 40 now. He's trying to make the Ryder Cup team, I think, one last time for Europe, and maybe has the opportunity with so many of his compatriots and guys his same age now moving to live. So Justin Rose, there's a reason that he has not joined that party, so to speak, is that he wants to get back in the top 50 and wants to qualify for all the majors and obviously qualify for the Ryder Cup team for potentially the last time. Played pretty well at the American Express. He doesn't usually win those birdie fest type of events, but he was in the mix here last year. I think he will be again. The two bombs I played, relatively speaking, Wyndham Clark, I mentioned him earlier, 85-1. Never has really finished very well here. 32nd, I think, was his best finish, but right mixing of bombing off the tee and putting really well on POA greens. Third in this field for driving distance gain, fourth strokes gain putting POA, seventh bogey avoidance. So Wyndham Clark, 85-1. And then Dean Burmester, 125-1, another bomber who got his PGA Tour card full time last year in the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. He's playing mostly stateside this year. He's a South African player, so most of his wins worldwide have come on the Sunshine Tour, although he has two DP World Tour wins to his credit. One of the bigger hitters in the game. It's a debutante here at Torrey Pines, so that's always something, you know, you kind of maybe are a little bit concerned out about. But 125-1, Matty Schmid was another bomber I considered at that price, but I think Dean Burmester at 125 has a good shot to hit the board.
You and I share a few different outrights there. I think I am on Will Zalatoris as well. He is the shortest guy that I have. Listen, this would be me being just stubborn and ignoring all of the stuff that I do. He is in the top five of every single version of every single model that I ran, long term, short term, long courses, difficult courses, doesn't matter. Every single thing that I did, he's inside the top five. And so had to get a bet in on Will Zalatoris. Max Homa for me is my next one. Max Homa is as anyone knows, if you're a golf bettor, California kid who has three wins over in California. He is very familiar with all these courses and very familiar with how these courses play. And honestly, I think Max Homa is playing the very best golf of his career right now. Actually, in that model where I'm able to mix in the weighted stats and things like that, He comes in second behind John Rahm. I mean, like literally second in the model behind John Rahm with all of that. And so Max Homa in the account. I alluded to this a little bit earlier. Man, Keegan Bradley just popped over and over and over and over again. And at 60-1, 69-1, I think 55-1 you can find maybe right now or something like that, I still think is a little bit of value on him. I know the win equity isn't quite what you want it to be because he only plays three of the four rounds every tournament, but like, you know, it's one of those things where the number has just crept so far, I think, because that win equity, and I just have to kind of agree with my numbers here where Keegan, a lot of long-term success that I'm looking at here on these long courses, these long, difficult courses, strokes gained around the greens inside the top 10, proximity 200 plus is in the top 10. He scrambles in the top 20, bogey avoidance in the top 20, all these different things that kind of puts him up there behind really only Zalatoris and Xander in one of the versions of my model. So again, have to play him at that number. Hayden Buckley at 90-1. Buckley, I think, can be still found out there in a pretty good. Listen, Hayden Buckley leaves a lot. Hayden Buckley leaves a lot to be desired in a lot of the categories that we are looking at here. But he really, really, really thrives in about half of the categories. I'm talking like top five numbers in like a lot of the categories that I'm looking at. And so if he can just run hot in some of the stuff that he doesn't do well, I'm okay at taking him at this number. I'm also on Dean Burmester. So everything that Wes just said also applies to me. And then the one guy, and you want to talk about a bomb here, guys, but this guy was in the top 20 of every single one and also inside the top 10 in a lot. Like, I'm sitting here like, what does my model love about Joseph Bramlett so damn much?
Oh,
like, and I'm talking, this guy is showing up everywhere. 13th in one. He's 15th in this one. He's 8th in this one over here. Like, he just loves Joseph Bramlett. And
he's
so,
this week's Mark Hubbard that we both used, I believe, at the Amex last week.
It's just, I mean, listen, at 300-1, I will agree with these numbers that keep popping up on my screen here, and I'm going to play him at the 300-1. Those are our outrights. So, Kelly, let's get to, again, this is kind of the bread and butter of the show each week, guys. And I know it's, yes, we are going to, We will definitely do our victory laps if we hit any outrights here on this show, but I cannot stress enough how important it is to play head to heads. If you know, don't force them, but if you feel like there's an edge, to play head to heads, to play these top 10, top 20, top 30, top 40 markets out there, that's how you keep your bankroll healthy. Because if you're trying to just only hit outrights, there's 150 golfers teeing it up every week, and hitting the one guy that wins is pretty tough. And so if you don't do these other markets that are available to you, you're just going to see your bankroll dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. So there's the first of many, I imagine, disclaimers here about all of that. But Kelly, let's get into, where are you sitting? Any head-to-heads, any top markets, any things like that?
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. We're going to say it a lot, and it can't be stated enough. I think that's how you win long-term. That's really how I turned my golf betting around, you know, kind of 3-4 years ago, was really focusing more on those kind of markets. And by the way, you know, Matt, you don't have to keep rambling off Keegan Bradley stats to get me to buy in, okay? You've convinced me. I'm sure I'll fire after this podcast is done recording, okay? I love me some Keegan. You know that.
I know.
A lot of I did some top 20s, some top 20, top 10, top 20s, and some tournament matchups. Didn't actually just expected to play more matchups than I was able to find really numbers that I liked, which is always the problem with tournament matchups. So only one for now, Max Homa over Wes's Taylor Montgomery. I did play. I love Homa. I'm waiting for this Montgomery run to come to an end at some point. That might bite me in the ass this week, but we'll see how this goes. Top 10. I went top 10 Finau and Zalatoris. So I know you guys are both on them outrights. I just decided to go top 10 with those guys. Might hop in tournament. Top 20, did a Zalatoris top 20 at a pretty good number I found there. Max Homa top 20, and then Jason Day, that top 20 I mentioned earlier. Then that one matchup, Homa over Montgomery, and then a little first-round leader fun, Brendan Steele 55-1 on the North course. If you are betting first-round leader this week, make sure you pay attention to which course it is separated into, because most books are posting them that way. So Brendan Steele, he was a guy that popped in my bottles a couple of times. I'm like, all right, I'll take a flyer on a first round leader. The guy crumbles always, but
yes. Well, I mean, I'm smiling here because I'll just go ahead and give mine. I only have two placement market bets this week, guys, and no head to heads. I don't think the head to head market was very strong this week.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty weak. They matched up basically identical golfers and put basically identical prices on them. I didn't see much of an edge at all. I think maybe the only thing I might get in on some of these head-to-heads would be, and no, I'm not going to make a living taking on John Rahm, but some of these numbers have drifted to a point where like you're getting 2-1 on like a top five golfer in the world against
like Morikawa is $2. Yeah, so is Justin Thomas.
Yeah. It's like again, John Rahm might go out there and win this damn tournament. Like he's won every whatever, but like you've getting to a point now where if it's head to head and it's two top 10 golfers in the world and you're going to give me 2-1, I just have to play numbers at some point. But the reason I was smiling, Kelly, I have but two top 10 bets. One of them is old Brendan Steele, plus 550. I just, listen, it checks so many of the boxes this week. I can't play an outright on him because, as you mentioned, he just can't. he can't ever close, but I'll take a flyer on a top 10 at over 5-1 on him. And then Jonathan Vegas at over 5-1 as well as a top 10. Another guy, just a bomber that, you know, checks a lot of the boxes. Again, he doesn't close a lot. Like, you'll always see this guy kind of lurking, right? Like, he's always lurking, doesn't really ever close. But I'll take a top 10 on Jonathan Vegas. And that's really all I have in these markets this week. Again, I didn't think it was a super strong market from a head-to-head perspective and from some of these other ones. Wes, where do you sit on placement and head-to-heads?
Yeah, I went with three matchups this week. I think I'm 4-2 on the season, going 2-1 both weeks. I'm with Kelly on one of those, Max Homa over Taylor Montgomery. Taylor Montgomery, by the way, is getting faded in the matchup market, so you don't want to maybe look into too much of that if you're betting outrights. But typically when I see a guy get faded in the matchup markets, I end up not using them all that often in the outrights, even though I will be betting Taylor Montgomery pretty regularly over the next 2 months, and had him last week where he finished fifth at the Amex. Dean Burmester -115 against Emiliano Grillo. That was just because I think Burmester, I agree with you, Matt. I think that his length is going to be absolutely massive here and maybe kind of have a sneaky good contender that maybe the average golf fan hadn't heard of. And then Sahith Theegala -$1.30 over Kurt Kitayama. It's not that I love Sahith this week, even though he's a California guy and certainly has some good courses coming up, especially in Phoenix, where he probably should have won last year. It was mainly a go against of Kitayama, who did pop on some of my model stuff. But when I look at his putting, he's been kind of a horror show on POA greens, if you really look at it. I think only Benny on ranked worst in the field than Kurt Kitayama. Best POA putter, by the way, is one Taylor Montgomery. But Max Homa, of course, is right there. A lot of these California guys, you know, the Homas and the McNeelys, you're going to see them on a lot of these putting and scrambling statistics. So those are my head-to-heads. In terms of how I am treating like top 10 and top 20 markets, one thing I mentioned earlier in the podcast was about not having each way betting here in the States. Yep. So really the only way you can do it is if you bet half of whatever your unit size is on the outright, and then half either on a top five, or if you want to go a little bit more conservative, top 10 or top 20, that's the only way to do it. Like, whenever you see a lot of these pieces that get put out in the golf space, you know, it's like, okay, so-and-so 55-1, one quarter. That means, you know, the payout and how many places, you know, some places it's five places, sometimes it's eight, sometimes for majors they'll do like 10, but that's the way I play it. So a lot of my outrights, you'll see probably some top 10, top 20.
It's going to say, and Kelly, I think you and I can kind of say the same, right? I mean, like, I don't want to just list the same guys over and over again. So I'm glad you did that, Wes. So as a disclaimer, and basically we'll say this week after week, I will have some sort of placement bet on every guy that I have an outright on because of what Wes mentioned. Like, we don't get outright bet. We don't get each way betting here. So I don't want to be left at the altar when my guy, you know, eventually does finish second or third or something. So yes, I will have probably a top five on the shorter-ish guys, and then I'll probably have a top 10 on some of the longer-ish guys that I have in my outright pool. And Kelly, I know you do that a lot as well, just to kind of like cover yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's anybody you're focused on in the outright market, you need to splash a little bit on there, I think.
Guys, each and every week, we're going to come to you and try to make you some winning bets here in golf. But again, one of the things we cannot emphasize enough is just bankroll management when it comes to golf. It is very easy to get carried away. I mean, you can start, if you start firing 15, 20 outrights at every single tournament, you are going to look up in a couple of months and your bankroll is going to be gone. And it's very easy to get caught up doing that. So we will preach, you know, hey, listen, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. We've had some pretty good success here over the last few years betting golf, and hopefully we can put some of that success in your bank accounts as well, in your accounts at the various sports books out there. For Wes Reynolds, for Kelly Bidlin, I am Matt Brown. Good luck on all your bets here at the Farmers.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.